Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge Hausbesuch, dem Podcast von Antihelden. Mein Name ist Sebastian und ich bin heute digital mit Oliver verbunden. Das Besondere an dieser Folge ist, dass Oliver in London lebt und aus Venezuela stammt. Und weil ich kein Spanisch spreche und er kein Deutsch, treffen wir uns heute auf der Mitte und sprechen Englisch miteinander. Ich hoffe, das ist für euch alle okay und ihr könnt dem Podcast trotzdem folgen und entschuldigt meinen Akzent und vielleicht auch den einen oder anderen Fehler, den ich jetzt gleich machen werde. Genau, und von jetzt an switche ich zu Englisch, um mit Oliver sprechen zu können. Und ich hoffe, ihr habt viel Spaß bei dem Podcast, bei dieser Podcast-Folge. That was my introduction in German. Hi, Oliver. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me about what you do.
Hi, Sebastian. No problem. Thanks for doing this. I was really looking forward to doing this. Like, you know, someone hearing different things from this side. And not everything, like, not everything that people would see. But yeah, I'm excited for it. So I just let you take the lead.
So just for you to know what side Oliver is talking about, Oliver is or has started his own online business of a different kind. He manages his own OnlyFans account and he is a self-made porn actor. First of all, Oliver, what would you call yourself? Would you say self-made porn actor is accurate, or do you prefer a different term for what you do?
I would say like self-made is it's quite a way to describe it, because like when I first started, it was just me with my phone in a corner of my bedroom and just recording myself, like completely amateur, and that's how I first started. I taught myself like how to film it, how to get the angles right, how to edit it as well, and then just been like improving from seeing other people's work. Self-made is like, yeah, self-made, something like that. And then I would say, some sort of like model porn actor would be, yeah. Like you said, self-made is very accurate.
And like I said, or like I told friends of this podcast interview that I'm going to do with you, and I told them about OnlyFans, and most of my friends didn't know what OnlyFans was. Can you tell us what OnlyFans is and how it works?
Yeah, so eventually, at first, it started about 3 years ago. I think it's coming up to four years ago, and then it's a platform where usually it was for like fitness people, PT, coaches, like personal trainers, trying to sell videos and monetize their work. And then somehow, I'm not sure when, I'm not sure how this happened. It's just like what I've read and learned from other people that have been doing this for longer. Somehow these new models that were based in the porn industry, like doing studio work, they're starting to launch and their own content onto this platform and monetizing that privately. And from that, they this thing, like telling their friends and then helping them to join. I read yesterday that there have been some people that have been like coaching other people to join in. So I've seen training them. I didn't know about this. it's like the whole thing started getting bigger and bigger. And now basically OnlyFans is mostly known for a platform where you can sell, upload, or just advertise private stuff. Like private stuff could be pictures of implied nudity, complete nudity, could be pornography as well. It's mostly made as amateur content. Like, it's not like very well the way that I'm doing it and other people, like most people are doing it in the porn industry, is more the amateur. You know, like I like to describe it as a Netflix subscription. It's like, you know, like you join Netflix, you pay monthly, and you see everything that is in there. you know, like, but the thing is that you pay separately for every model that you want to see. So every model will have different a different collection of videos or pictures or whatever, and everyone will run in a different way. So the most the most common way is like people would start uploading videos and pictures, and then there'll be a monthly subscription for it, and you will have access to see all of them.
So you could actually say that OnlyFans is where all the content goes that would be blocked from Instagram in a way, right?
Yeah. I mean, all the content that you, yeah, mostly that, but you also have Twitter, when like picture can act, people can actually post this stuff as well, like post like nudity or all the content that you wouldn't be able to see on Instagram or Facebook. Yeah, so it's just like the content, yeah, you can post all of this and sell it or monetize that.
I mean, also for you, you have an Instagram account, and you also like have your OnlyFans account linked to that Instagram account as well. So it's sort of, you can market
the like content. A self-advertise, yeah.
Yeah, you can self-advertise, exactly. You can self-advertise the content or yourself, and then have the link to OnlyFans there as well.
The way I see it, it's like the way I see it is like building a brand or something like that. Like, you know, Instagram is known to have like a lot of influencers and people that say this, people that try to sell things, and I'm trying to create content constantly and then just promote through them. It's also like trying to show like a lifestyle, which is in most cases is true. And then I don't know, the way I run online is like I'm constantly doing stuff, which is like something that would normally happen for me, and now I'm doing this extra as well, like which would be like my porn career. So yeah.
How did you first come up with the idea to become a part of the OnlyFans community or to start posting content there?
I actually didn't want to do it at the beginning. I just got had that push. As you know, I was born in a country where like people that live there is not very benefit from living there, basically. So I managed to like live and have a pretty good life being here in London. So, but it was in the same case for my family. So after 2 years of being here, I managed to buy my own property and then I took my family on holiday. So the plan was taking them for 5 weeks to stay with me and they would settle in a different country. So they stay with me, they stayed, and I spent a lot of money from that time. And then when I came back, I found myself in a situation that was like penniless. Like I didn't have any more money for like to do anything, like not even to get the strength to go to work. So I was like, and I still had to pay the rent and the food and for myself as well, like my mortgage, all of that. So like 5 months before I went to see my family, people started talking about OnlyFans and I didn't know what it was. It's just like people on Instagram were like expecting me to have one. I was like, no, just because I post pictures on holidays and at the beach or a swimming pool. And yeah, I like going to the gym. Doesn't mean that I want to do porn. I'm not that confident. For about 5 months, people like, not constantly, but like every now and then, someone would tell me like, are you doing this? Are you doing OnlyFans? Where is your link? It's like, I don't have one. And then I just decided to give it a go when I came back from that holiday. It was 5 weeks that I spent with my family. And then of that, 5 weeks, it was a long time. And I got here, I didn't know what to do. And I just thought, maybe this is going to give me like some help. Like, it's just going to help me to get through this time. And then that's what I thought. And then this is going to give me like a few $100 a month, and then I'll be fine. But yeah, I didn't expect it would be like a big thing, and then it would actually be good. Like, yeah, I wasn't that confident, and it actually made me, it helped me financially, and it helped me like believe more like in myself, like be more confident about myself and the things that I can do. And obviously I'm constantly learning, and we all have insecurities as well. So that was like the first, the biggest step to overcome that. So yeah, it was like overcoming my insecurities and like having financial issue. So like, yeah, situation, which doesn't just involve me, because like in the past when I have a financial situation, it was just me that I needed to look after. But this time it's just me and other people. Like I'm talking about family, it's like 7 members and families that were like in a different country with no money. So it's like, great. And I was responsible for that because I said to them, yeah, come here, you'll be fine. So that's how I started.
How much work do you have to put into your OnlyFans account to be able to live from that? Like you said, you started out small, like recording with your iPhone from your bedroom. And then when you sort of professionalized, how did that happen? How much effort or time do you have to put into it?
So at the beginning, I was like kind of like doing my own thing. I had some pictures for like a few months before, like so I was like trying to post.
In the beginning, you were mainly doing pictures.
No, I did like 2 videos, but okay. That I had to record then. But it was just myself. And then in the beginning, it was like, because before this, I never like recorded myself or did like a lot of pictures for like myself. Just like, you know, as everyone has done it, like you normally send a picture to someone like privately. And I was surprised I had a few of them in my phone still. So I used some of them that were like the most recent ones. And then I used those. And I was like, not constantly, but very often taking pictures and doing more videos. And I was posting stuff to get a lot of content in the account, because it was like my first week or something like that. It was about every 2 days, every 3 days, posting something new, like a selection of like, I don't know, 5-6 pictures that was taken in my bedroom, and then I just post them all, that kind of thing. And and it was firstly doing solo videos. Trying to remember what else. Obviously, at the beginning, it wasn't as much work as I'm doing now. But now it's like after I start meeting other people that were doing OnlyFans as well, YouTube was doing what we call collaboration, which means that we both agree to do a video, and he will use it for his side, and I will use it for mine. And we'll come to edit it together, and then we use the same thing. So that'll be a collaboration, because we both help each other. Yeah.
And what would you say is the hardest part for you about your work? Like, what is the thing that also maybe from the beginning that kept you from doing it at first? And then, like, what do you feel now is the hardest thing to do for you with your work?
I think thing before used to be about society, what would people say, things like that, what would happen like with my job and things like that. And then I am, like with my friends, my family, what's going to be for? No, because like I started outsourcing from day one, because like the thing with OnlyFans, like nobody, if nobody knows you, nobody's going to find you. So my first fans came from my Instagram, and my Instagram is just my only account. Like I have everyone in there, people from so many years. I have my Instagram account since like, I don't know, 8, 9 years ago, like when a few months after the first started. And then, I was like having all these people there, and I was like, what are these people going to say? At the beginning, they didn't know what it was about. Like most people didn't know, and other people were like, oh yeah, that's fine. And then so like the hardest thing, it was like thinking of obviously that, and then after after I put that in the back, put that behind, not caring about what people say, the hardest thing now is I would say like making connections. Like, obviously we're going through a situation now when you are restricted in traveling, and so not all the people are, you need to try to like recreate something different all the time for like, so you don't have to put, you don't want to post the same sex scene with someone and obviously repeat the same person. So you need to have like fresh content, fresh people. People that you haven't filmed with before, and just try to advertising that and finding new content, creating like trying to be interesting, you know, trying to keep people interested in you. Well, in this case, me. That's something that I find not really hard, but I always have to think about it. Like, what can I do? Like, how can I do these things? And yeah.
Since you already like talked about society and the like the worries of what other people would say about what you do, how is it like? How do you experience this? What is it that people actually say or think about what you do? Because I know, for example, that your family knows that you are working as a porn model, and. Right, you told me before I would be curious to know how you experience this. On the one hand, or how your parents or your family handles this, and on the other hand, like how friends and people you randomly meet who get to know about this are handling this.
So, I told my family about it. When they start, like, when I managed to move them to Spain, so they now live in Spain, and then, so I told them after I lost my job because of it, which is like, it's another, I'll tell you about it later. Yeah. I was quite scared, like, because I didn't know, like, well, it's been the first time that I'd actually. That actually happened, and I was like, what am I going to do? And then I was just feeling really bad, and then every time that something like happens, like I feel bad, I need advice, or I need just someone to tell me that everything's going to be fine, I pick up the phone and call my family, I call my grandma, and it just, whatever she says just makes me feel better. And it had been already like a whole year since I was keeping that from them. So I just thought, like, I'm just gonna say, like, all this money is coming from here, and this is what happened. This is the actual reason, of like everything. And then, because, like, you know, like, I'd rather tell them that, like, tell them what is actually happening, than them thinking and wondering where am I getting all this money from? Like, it's not. Especially someone that I'm on my own in this country, and then like having all this money to move around people, like 7 people from place to place all the time, I mean, not many people like get a lot of money like this. So I just started thinking like, what do they think that I do? Where do they think that I get all this money from? So I think like losing my job was like that push to tell them like to tell them the truth. And also because like they moved to Spain, there's a lot of people in Spain that know me, and I always got like maybe someone would like know about it and tell them, and I don't know. It's just like I'd rather they find out from me. And that was like I don't know, like February this year, and my brother moved to Spain last summer, and he was the first one to talk about it. And you know, he was fine. He was actually grateful for it. And it's like, well, you have done all of this for us, like, and he came from there, just like, as long as you've been safe, being happy, and you're okay with that. Like, I mean, like, what am I gonna say? This is like, you're saving our asses by doing this. And I was like, okay, great, thanks. And then he was, they were like, I was gonna say, not open mind and understanding and supportive. Like, he will actually, when I kept coming to Madrid to see him, and then he would like he got a motorbike for work, and then he would like drive me to places that I needed to go when he had time and things like that. And when I told my grandma about it, she was like, well, if you lost your job, you can just move here and you can work from here as well, so you can live with us. I was like, I was not expecting that. I was like, everyone tell this, they just find that really funny and sweet. I don't know. But yeah, she came up with that. Like, she has changed a lot since I left the country, since I'm not living with them anymore. I don't know. I think they respect the things that I do, and because I don't know, like, I always try to have a reason why I do things, like a reason why I wanted to leave, a reason why I wanted to like learn another language, a reason that I don't know, like relationships and things like that. And I always manage to look after myself, and I'm not like I'm always try to not to be a crazy person, like I don't know, like they see me and they say he's doing well, he's looking after himself, he's able to do all these things, so he knows what he's doing, and they support me. And then I just feel really lucky to have them. That was family. Friends, it's a mix with friends and things like that, because they at the beginning most of them were like fine with it, and others were like, stop talking to me. Yeah, it was like, like this is like strange, but yeah, it's just been a mix of like reactions, I think.
How does it make you feel that other people know how you look naked and you don't know about them?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I think I have to see a lot of people like naked, so I think like I have enough of saying. I feel like I see enough people naked, so I don't need to see like everyone.
Do you feel that being naked around other people sort of loses, like, that you get used to this?
Yeah, like, it depends, because, like, I don't know, like, being naked with someone is, like, a lot of, like, it's like another level of, like, intimacy. And that is something, like, every time I meet someone new to film on it or everything, it's someone that you try like the first five or like the first half an hour to try to get a connection with that person. And
before that is someone that you, there's a conversation, like how to plan things, when it's going to happen, like where it's going to happen. So you try to build like some sort of like, not like a connection. Yeah. So you are able to be comfortable being like in front of that person. When if it's like random people, there is no time. It's like, I'm not sure when CNA gets, you know, like, or like, I don't feel comfortable, like being naked around like a lot of people. Like my first time, the first time I went to a nudist beach was like October last year.
Mm-hmm.
In front of my friends and everyone. And like, and it was like, that's not something that I normally do. So it's that kind of thing. It's not like, it's not like I'm a saint or something like that. It's just like for me, it's like about a connection. I want like open my boundaries to like everyone, like that kind of thing. And it's also something that is quite, that is also something that has been quite hard for like doing this work for me, like, because you know, like all the insecurities, body confidence, and things that are, like, you know, like, okay, I'm gonna get naked in front of these people. What if they don't like what they see? You know, like it's a lot of things, but it's just things that are in your head, so you just have to like overcome that. So that's like, you know, everyone has insecurities at some point. So, but yeah, and then yeah, it's just like being able, me being able to be comfortable being naked around people. If I don't know them, I would be like, I don't know, this is awkward. But if I have to do it, I guess I'll have to do it. But it's a little easier when there's a connection. And when I'm working with someone, there is like, there obviously, there, when you're working with someone, is someone that there is like a sort of like attraction beforehand. In most cases, so I was like, oh, actually, if this was real life, this is something that I would actually like to do.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get like a hate comment or whatever, like sort of very negative feedback on your account?
No, as I've been really lucky, because that's what it was stopping me from doing it before. Obviously, well, one of the reasons why. So I was like, exactly what happens if that I'm not good enough for this? Like, what happens if, and then obviously the whole thing, like the job and everything else, blah, blah. But that was one of the reasons why, like, maybe, like, because I'm not like one of these big guys, super muscular, and like my body is like super natural. And then, like, what if I'm not there? Like, when you see everyone on the internet, they just look like, I don't know, like all stunning. It's like I'm not built like that. Like, and then, but I don't know. That's what I say. I was really surprised when, like, all the success that I made, that people actually like it. Like, people have been following for even from day one when I first started doing it. So that's why it gave more confidence about myself, and because there's a market, there is a thing for everyone. There's a lot of things that people like. So and I'm just, I'm happy that I discovered that. And then like living out of it, I guess, making a career out of this. I was quite happy because I don't know. I was like, you know, insecurities of people. It's all in our heads. We just have to overcome that, and then that's it.
I was wondering, or I would not have expected you to think of yourself in that way, but like, to me, as you said, my body does not look like these people, like super strong, super well built, or whatever you said, or you said, I look very natural, and I'm like, yeah, but you are very fit, like you are very well built. Did that change from when you started? Like, when you started it, was your physical build different from now, or has it actually been more or less the same, but it was like insecurities?
It was more insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like, yeah, I've maintained myself in like in the same way, like obviously I go to the gym all the time and things like that. but it's like, you know, it's a thing about, you know, like the days that we live in now, like everyone, like, is looking for something better. There's like a better option just around the corner for everyone. And insecurities come when, like, there will be a lot more people that will be better looking than you. So, like, you fall into a hole that is, like, you comparing yourself to other people. And that is actually wrong because, like, everyone is, like, on a different journey. Everyone is, like, doing different things at different times. Maybe, like, there is a time for everyone. And there is, you just have to, like, accept what you are. And then, so it's, like, it just come from you before, like, because for you to try to get people to like you, you have to like yourself first. So I was like, and that's what I've been learning, like with this and like with my insecurities and being like, because before I was like, I'm just a normal guy, like that's it. But then now, well, people like a normal guy and they have a lot more to offer as well. And that's when you become more interesting. And then that's why there is people follow like every like different people because of like because of what they look like and then what also not like as a person but like as I don't know as a different ways so different things that they do and so yeah I've never had any negative comment. Everyone thinks I'm super attractive. It's like, okay, thank you. Yeah, I see myself like, yeah, in that way. Like, it's really hard for you to, like, with not trying to sound really vain. Like, I mean, I spend a lot of time looking at myself in the mirror, which is like, okay. But trying to hear that from other people and, like, they actually mean it. It's like, you know, like, getting used to that. It's like, okay, yeah, this is good. I feel comfortable. People like what they see, and you know, it's happy. It makes me happy as well. Because I just thought that it just confirms to me that everything that I thought before it was just in my head.
When you started to try to get more comfortable and putting yourself out there and overcome your insecurities, like, how did you go about that? How did you tackle this issue?
I need to be able to do this. I had a really good feedback from my Instagram before I started doing it. And then, like, the first week, I was really surprised that about 60 or almost 100 people subscribed in the first week. And I was like, I was not expecting this. I was literally not expecting this. And then people, like, were subscribing and watching it month after month. So that's how I'm always driven for I see this like every other job that I had before. Like, I see this like how successful like you are, like how good I am at doing my job. Like, before I would do something good and my boss, my manager would say, yeah, this is good. And then next time I'll try to do it better. So it's, they would say, they keep saying good things about what I'm doing, like, some sort of recognition. And then having all of this just made me want to do more because, like, okay, I'm doing this and people actually like it. People actually like seeing this. So I'm going to try to do more. And then the more I was doing, more people was subscribing and kept watching and kept resubscribing as well. So I was like, I was not expecting this. And it's like, okay, so people like what they say. I'm just going to keep giving them what they want. And what they want is just like me as I am. So, yeah.
So you also tackled that you have been going to the gym a lot before and still do that. And I think, like, we all know porn. So we have all, I think most of us have come across the one or the other sort of porn. And of course there are some niches and certain fetishes, but I think, or I feel about it, like there is sort of a mainstream porn that has a very prevalent image of what the actors or the models should look like. Like, I feel that usually they are quite young, quite fit, quite hairless, quite hung. And I think that rather than porn actor, and that is also like the term that I think we used mostly up till now, is that you could rather talk about like a porn model in a way. And do you think that doing porn is more or less like a lifestyle, like sort of certain jobs are like lifestyle jobs in a way, like models or like, let's say, professional ballet dancers, so that you spend most of your life revolves around your work? It's not something that you go to at 9 in the morning and then come home from at 5 in the evening and that's it, but it's more of like, it is like also like the way that you describe it to me so far, it feels like it is more of something that is with you all the time, like it's more of a lifestyle choice. Would you agree with me on that?
With this amateur or like self-made porn star that are coming every day, everyone has a different look. Like, not everyone is like muscular or super tall and like, you know, this flawless like kind of look. Everyone looks different. Everyone sells like a different thing, and everyone is successful in their own way because there are people that like different things, like I was saying before. So it's just like everyone is just trying to be who they are, and I think that's the thing with OnlyFans, because it allows people to like, to be more who they are, because you can put content there, and then if people like it, people will go and see it, and they will keep watching if you keeping the promises that you giving them or whatever, if you maintain keeping them entertained. So yeah, you like everyone look good in different ways, and that appeals to different people. So it's not like you have to, like before, I guess like before in porn, you had to look in a different way to be able to make it to the studio. Now OnlyFans has opened the doors for a lot of people, like, and it's a lot of sizes, shapes, forms, everything. So it's like that's what I think. It's more there's a more of
variety.
Variety. Yes.
So you think that these OnlyFans and the opening porn for also amateur content creators, let's say, diversified porn.
Yeah, I would say that's like a diversity, so that you can find any kind of people joining that. Obviously, and it's not like you said, like hairless and really young. Like, I have worked with people that are 20 years older than me.
How many?
Like, how many? Like, 20 years?
20 years
older than me. And they still look great. Like, and like, you know, like, so it's a different thing. Like, it's just like trying to see what sells. Like I said, there's an appeal for everyone.
Can you tell us a little bit about how your work has affected your private sex life?
It's been more like, I've been focusing more on making videos. Like, sometimes I can go through times or weeks that I don't remember when was the last time I had sex without having a camera. And it's also because like I try to like look after myself and like save the energy to like to keep creating content. And I actually have been meeting people that that I get on like really well. So I mean, so that most of the time, like you are into each other when you're making the video, so that you see the chemistry and everything. But at the end of the day, everyone will go separate ways to get on with their lives. And then you can make friends from them as well, but it's not something like, it's not that, it won't be like a stronger connection, like in a sexual way, like a regular partner, things like that. Like it wouldn't be like that. So if I wanted to have sex with someone, like I would need to get to know them, like have a connection. And then the things is like a lot of people are quite judgmental as well when you say, oh yeah, I do porn or I do have an OnlyFans. So it's like, so most people are judgmental for that. And it's like, well, I don't want to have sex with you if you're going to be judging me in the back of your mind. So I don't need to do this like with you, or I don't need you to do this. So it's like, you have to filter. Like in my case, I have to filter a lot who I want to like, you know, like meet or like have sex with. And it's like, yeah, it's a lot of like taking a while to find someone who I actually want to, like, there is a connection, there is a, I feel comfortable doing, that's what I say, I feel comfortable doing it with. So yeah, and then like, what I was gonna say, yeah, also people, like most people are scared now that you will be filming them secretly, which cannot happen, it is illegal. You can't do that. So it's like, I don't know, like a thing going on. Like, it's like, I don't know, like a stigma or with like with us and all the people who listen to it. Because like, there's no difference, because most of these people, they meeting all these random people all the time. And just because it's not camera, that doesn't mean it's different to what I do. Because at the end of the day, I'm just having sex with someone, I'm just found a way to monetize that and like advertising, just like make a career of it. So it's a lot different. And it's just like seeing each side, like you, so just this from the person is like, you don't care meeting everyone else that you have met before, but when it comes to someone who does porn, you have questions, you have alerts, you have I don't know, you have caution. Like and then it's like, okay, so that's, so yeah, it comes to like a lot of filtering before I want to actually have sex with someone that is not fulfilling. That's, yeah.
Since you started doing your, or being on OnlyFans, did you privately go out and date someone?
No. Let's say lifestyle that I'm having now, like with work, is like I travel all the time. I like my lifestyle wouldn't suit someone to be with me, because like I feel like it would be a lot to ask, like with the amount of content that I'm making, the amount of like planning and everything. Obviously I can make time for things like that, but I don't know what kind of person would be like comfortable dating someone who is making as much content as I'm making now. And then like yeah, and then I don't know, I mean, the more success I get, the more content I want to make, because like it's my career and I don't know how long it's gonna last. So I want to make the most of it what I can, because like obviously this is not gonna be forever. But what is happening, I just need to maximize everything that I can get from that.
What would you say is it that makes a successful porn model? Or
I think with this, it would be more about interaction with people, like with your fans. Like everyone is paying you to do the things that you're doing. Everyone is paying to see you, because there is so much free stuff that you can find on the internet. They are following you. They are being very loyal to you. So every time that you get a message from them, you need to reply to them. You need to like make them feel that it's very personalized what you're trying to do for them. No matter, it doesn't matter how many fans you have, you need to try to do this as much as you can. Obviously, there's a lot of people that they have like thousands of fans, hundreds of fans, and then it's really hard to keep up with people, but you need to show every time that you're doing this for them that this is you're having fun doing this and everything, you're doing what you want, no one is forcing you, but you're doing it because there is someone on the other side of the screen enjoying what you're doing and paying for it. And then like, and because like if you find something on the internet that is for free, the first few thoughts I had is like, yeah, you can see all these people on the internet and everything, but you will never be able to talk to them. You will never be able to see what happens after. And that's what it's selling now. Like you seeing a real person, what it looks like it feels more like a real person that you're following. And if you send a message, you have the option that they will reply back to you and say, yeah, thank you for the compliment. I'm very glad that you like this video or whatever. I'm very happy that you're following me and things like that. So it's like them being acknowledged and then knowing that they matter to you, because they do. At the end of the day, they are paying for everything that you're producing. And that's like, in my case, I live for this. So it's like,
right now, I think you are very successful with what you do. Like, you also said that you are creating a lot of content, and I know that you have been shooting with Alan King, who is sort of known, especially in the gay porn community, I'd say. But you also said, like, I need to do this now because I don't know how long this is going to last. And do you have like a plan B for what you might want to do? Or is that something that you think about like often? What can I do after? Or what will I do when this streak of success ends?
So I'm going to keep focusing on this for now. And in the back of my head, I have different plans. So when this is coming to an end, when the time comes that this is going to come to an end, I'll be prepared to do something else. So that's what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I always had that before. Like, since I finished uni, I moved to two different countries in the last 6-7 years. I've been abroad, like making a home in the different countries. So yeah, I always need to be prepared for what's going to happen when something wrong comes, like when something wrong happens. What can I do? And at the moment, I've been managing quite well to not be in really bad situations.
We have touched the topic of your former work. Like, I know that you lost your work shortly or sometime after you start working for OnlyFans. Can you talk about that to us a little bit? Like, is that connected? And if so, how and why did this happen?
Well, I used to live in a different city before I moved to London. So it's called Portsmouth. Everyone knows I'm from there. So like, that's where I sort of like landed when I first got to the UK. And then I was living there. And then when I started to make more videos for my OnlyFans, I always wanted to live in London anyway, but I just like spent 3 years, 3.5 years in Portsmouth, just getting settled. Like I bought a house and everything. Just getting like financially settled. Like when I moved to London, I wouldn't struggle because like it's a big city, and then like it's really challenging living here. So I didn't want to, but I wanted to have a good life if I went to move to London. So I was like working really hard and like trying to get experience and everything in a good job that would allow me to move here. So along, like when OnlyFans came along, he started getting very successful. It was to the point that I was having like almost two sites at the same time. And then I moved to London. And when I moved to London, and then the site became more serious. And then I found a new job in London, and somehow on the second day that I started, everyone knew who I was. Like from my Instagram, from I don't know how. The thing is, they find out, and then my boss, everyone, and it was like constantly, people talking about me, but I didn't know who they were. Like when people don't talk to you, but they talk about you, I was like, great. Like so that's for the five months I was there. I was like constantly thinking, is this going to be my last day? That kind of thing. And then my boss was like, sometimes she said something to me, like, I would never forget this. Like, nothing that I ever did was good enough for her. Like, no matter how good my job was, like, she would always talk to me if I made a mistake or if I was doing something that is not the way that I do it. I was like, okay, fine. That was the only reason she would talk to me. And then once, I think, yeah, it wasn't twice, it was once, she said something like, a lot of people here don't talk to you, or like they feel awkward about you because of what you do. And I said, that doesn't have to do anything with this. Like, I'm here every time. I'm on time. Like, I'm never late. I've never missed a day. I'm here doing everything that you asked me to do. And what I'm doing after here is nothing to do with what I do here. And she was trying to make her point. And then eventually, like, I was on like on my probation period, and then they didn't let me pass my probation over two mistakes that I made, and one of them wasn't even my fault. I knew what the real reason was. I just didn't say anything. I was just actually relieved that I didn't have to go there because of the environment. Which I was really, I wouldn't say depressed. I would say like constantly in a really low mood. Like I would get there, and I just wasn't happy. I wasn't happy there. I never had a problem like that before in any other job. I just like I left that, and then after that, we all know quarantine came into place, so I couldn't even get another job. So even if I wanted to do it, I couldn't, because I wasn't sure I was gonna just do on the phones. But I was like, okay, I'm just gonna try and see what happens. And then yeah, it just became like really serious, and like it just I started getting more successful, and then like now it's just the only thing I do now. So it's like, so yeah, I was like, they actually did me a favor, like not letting me go back to that job.
So we've talked about how you felt telling your family sort of insecure. We have talked about how parts of your friend group stopped talking to you because of your job. And we've talked about how you lost your job, or how the work environment for you severely changed as soon as people found out what you did after work. And say this is problematic, like there's something wrong, or there's a problem with how we not address, but like how we interact or how we are with people who work in any type of sex work related business, like porn or sex assistants. Your take on this, like, what do you think is the problem that we face here, and do you think there's something we can do about it?
There is a lot more barriers and a lot more of like cons and things that we have to face, like especially like having a normal job, or doing things like, different things, even like talking to other people. Like, you can find people that are not happy about it. You can find people that can judge you about it. They can treat you in a different way. That's sort of like a problem. There are not like proper rights for people who work in this industry.
And what do you think, or how do you think we could change that?
I think it comes from like every person is a mindset of like educating themselves, people being educated about what is wrong, what is right, and like just because it's on the internet doesn't define your life or the things that you do. Like, you know, there's so much more that every one of us has to offer, and it is very lucrative. But like the thing, like, it wouldn't be ideal to get all of these benefits at a cost of like being looking a different way from society. So it's like the thing that would change, like, is just like educating people and then like just trying to change the mindset. Because like, just because you did or do this industry doesn't mean that's the only thing that you can offer. Like, there is so much more that people are very creative, artists, like business people, everything, people with like degrees and all of that. There's like, and then what happens, like, let's say you had a gap of like a few years, and then once you won't be able to do this anymore and you want to try to get into a normal job, what can you actually do? You know? Like all the skills and everything. So it wouldn't, like, some people would, like, I believe that some people would find it really hard to try to come into a normal job, like, after they finish their career here, which I just think, like, it shouldn't be that hard for them. Like, just because you didn't have a 9-to-5 job or like a job that you had a contract or something like that, that doesn't mean that you don't have any other like skills that you can use in a normal job. Like, because with us, it's like a lot of like digital stuff, like advertising, like we have to film ourselves, we have to, like, you know, like all this internet stuff that we work with, that's a skill as well. And like we promote ourselves in a way to be really successful, we can do that in any other field. That's what I think.
I think also it's very hypocritical that I think all of us, or let's say like my generation, like people who are born in the 90s and later, we all come across porn. Most of us have been watching porn and enjoyed it. And on the other hand, we don't want to have anything to do with the people who create this porn that we are all consuming. That is, I think, kind of schizophrenic, because you, on the one hand, enjoy a product, but then again, you are discriminating against the people who are creating this product. And that does not make sense to my mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we have talked a bit about also like the negative sides that come with the job. But I also wanted to, at the end of this interview, also talk about like what it is that you really, really like about the job that you are doing.
I would say like the freedom that I have from it, because I can like, I mean, like you know, I was 3 weeks in April, so I was away from home for 3 weeks, doing what I wanted. I had a choice to film or not to do it, and it would have been fine because I would still be okay. I would still be good. I would still be earning money and everything. But obviously, the more work I did, the more money I know that I would get. But it's like I'm earning as much as I'm working. So obviously, I'm working really hard, and then and I'm earning an amount of money that I live a very comfortable life. I can support myself. I can support my family. So it's and I have a lot of freedom as well. So it's like and people are paying me to be me, to do something, to do the things that I like to do. The main good thing I would say is that I am earning my worth. It's not like I'm being underpaid. It's not like I'm being slaving myself where like, I don't know, like working really hard and I would get the same paycheck every month. With this is completely different because like I would get as much as I want, and I feel that way.
Okay. Is there something that you would like to add at the end of this interview, like something that you want to talk about?
Look at both sides of the screen. One thing is what is happening on the screen, totally different things what's happening on each people's lives. And then, yeah, just try to be more like open-minded for people who are not doing it and for people who are doing it. For people who are doing it, well, like, work really hard. Like, the more that you work, the more success that you're going to get. Yeah, and just like, don't compare yourself to others because, like, it's not a good thing. Like, everyone is doing their own journey. And, you just have to make sure that you deliver a good product and then you work really hard for it. And then the more you work, the better results you want to get. Like, yeah, I think that's what I would say.
Okay, thank you, Oliver. And it has been a treat. It has been my pleasure. Thank you for taking the time and thank you for talking like very openly to my mind about like these for me like kind of very intimate topic.
I know this is like it was like an interesting opportunity because like in this kind of like this professional way that this is something that matters. Other people just like ask questions because they're curious about it or they just like they just want to ask questions. But this is like the first time that someone is like actually asking me and for a reason that like a professional reason, like something that matters. So I'm just really happy that you contacted me to do this. I was like, oh, I'm really happy to be part of it. So yeah, thank you as well.
Great. Thank you very much. So I hope you enjoyed. I'm going to switch back to German. I'm sorry. Ich hoffe, ihr konntet alle folgen und hattet Spaß bei dem Gespräch. Ich schicke schon mal voraus, dass mir das mit der Tonqualität leid tut. Ich habe hier ein sehr elaboriertes Setup gehabt, um zu versuchen, die Tonqualität so gut wie möglich zu bekommen. Und ich hoffe, dass das beim Schnitt sich dann auch einlösen wird und die Tonqualität okay ist für euch. Mir war es nur wichtig, mit Oliver darüber zu sprechen, weil ich eben weiß, obwohl er in London lebt und wir das nur digital machen konnten, weil ich weiß, dass er gerade ziemlich durchstartet. Das könnt ihr dann auf der Instagram und vielleicht auch auf der OnlyFans-Seite euch ansehen und davon überzeugen. Und Genau, bis hierhin für heute. Ich danke euch fürs Zuhören und wünsche euch eine gute Zeit. Bis zum nächsten Mal. Ciao.